Chris Moore.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
You're so gross.
Sadly, it's not the first time a woman has said that to me. I mean, it's...
not the first time I've said it to you.
No, not the first, not the last. You know, that's the way it goes. First your money, then your clothes. The 7 o'clock hour of this fine radio program will be free of charge, much like the 6 o'clock hour. Dynamite dropping, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off. We're going a little goofy up in here because it's really nice out and we're not out.
Chris Moore.
Yeah, and that's the problem, all right. That's the problem. In two words with two syllables, I can tell you the problem. We are happy to have you aboard. The All-Stars are coming out. I remember a time when the All-Star game was such a big deal, and maybe for some kids it still is. I mean, definitely part of it is being 12. I get that. Most of us aren't 12 anymore. But obviously with interleague play and the proliferation of games on television and the chance to watch your favorite team almost every night that kids have today, it doesn't have the same cash that it had back in the day, but still interesting and fun, and coming up a week from Tuesday. All right, let's talk a little Yankee baseball. Mike Mazzeo, nice enough to join us from the Daily News on this Sunday night after the Yankees' small ball victory today that everybody seemed to love because it's so rare these days, a bunt after a hit by a pitch, and then the game-winning single from Brett Gardner, and they win 2-1 north of the border. Michael, how are you?
Chris, I'm doing well, man. First leg of the trip is over.
There you go.
We are three down. We are eight to go.
And
the All-Star game.
Another.
Nine to go.
I saw one of your funny tweets that four straight now series wins since the season reportedly ended with the awful weekend in Tampa.
Yeah, I was just having some fun.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have fun with the people. It's a 162 game grind. You know, with Twitter and social media and everyone able to just, you know, rip off their opinions at the click of a button. And you know, obviously fans, you know, the definition of fan is being emotional and being kind of irrational at times. So, you know, when they lose, the season's over because of the second wild card, you know, not wanting to plan that. And then when they win, obviously everything's great. So we're having some fun, you know, but again, this team is, you know, back on track, obviously after, you know, the tough one on Friday where Sonny Gray got bombed again. And I guess they're going to keep him in the rotation since they really have nobody else. You know, I would love to see this Justice Sheffield come up. I wrote that in my column on Friday. And I said Gray should be removed from the rotation, but it is what it is. They're going to kind of, you know, plug away with this rotation until they can get some upgrades here.
Yeah, I mean, and they are, you know, they're 23-11, I think, in their last, whatever that is, 34 games. And in the 11 losses, eight of them, they've scored two runs or less. So, you know, they generally, you know, they don't generally lose when they score. And really, it's about, you know, this team being able to score consistently as well because they are still 22nd with runners in scoring position, hitting .242. And, you know, Gray is like a lightning rod. He takes all of the heat, and he should. He's been awful. But in the end, a lot of times when they lose because they don't score.
Well, really, they've lost because, you know, they've lost, what, 29 times? I think Gray has been the starter in 10 of those. So
hey,
that's more than a third of the
losses. He has as many wins as DeGrom.
Yeah, that's bad. That's poor DeGrom. I mean, oh my God!
Yeah, exactly.
I know the Yankee trade isn't happening, but
no,
it is rough. I mean, I do feel bad for the guy. Not getting any support there. And anyway,
but what about runners in scoring position? What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, look, they need to hit a little bit better. And I do think there's some. I know a lot of people say, you know, everything is independent and it's the same at bat, but like, there's definitely something to hitting with runners on base.
Yes.
I mean, I only played high school ball. I know you played, but like when you played the game before, it doesn't matter what age you played it, you feel a little more when runners are on base than, you know, base is empty. Or if it's, you know, high leverage spot where there's two on in the ace versus, you know, leading off the first or second or something. There's a difference there, you know, and you feel that. You definitely feel that. So, you know, yeah, these guys definitely need to step up in those spots and do a little bit better. But, you know, it could be worse, right? They could not be 29 games over right now, and they could be, you know, out of a playoff spot. And then all this stuff that we're talking about would be so much bigger, too. And that's the other thing. It's like fans struggled so much at the beginning of the year, but other guys stepped in. You know, Glaber and Miguel Andujar stepped up. So it's like everything that they've been dealing with, you know, is really just on that individual guy more so than the team. It's like the team is, you know, like Sonny Gray said, they're the best team in baseball four out of 5 days. When I don't start, we're 32 games over, and when I do, we're three games under. So, all this stuff, really, like if Greg Bird isn't hitting, it's almost more on Greg Bird than it is the team, because usually the team is able to overcome whatever singular guy or couple of guys are struggling.
As you look at this race with the Red Sox, I've been kind of caught in between on my thoughts about everybody wants to avoid the wild card game, clearly. But when you look at what it takes to be under pressure for 162, I said this to somebody yesterday. I said, this is like asking two guys to run a marathon and then, okay, one of them wins and one of them doesn't. Now, all right, change your shirt. You got to run a 5K and then a 10K and then another 10K, and then you win the World Series. It's like, boy, there's a lot of pressure. I mean, at 58 and 29, should you be worried about, we're not 61 and 30? I mean, I don't know whether it wears on him. I don't know if it wears on Aaron Boone. I wonder what your thoughts are in general about going through what appears to be an April to October two-man race to avoid a single-game playoff.
Well, I'm sure baseball loves it, right?
Absolutely. Because, from a marketing standpoint, that's an easy question.
The two big markets are going head-to-head, yep. And every game's meaningful, and everybody's tuned in, and they're analyzing every pitch.
What about for Cora and for Boone?
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably, you can't take any days off, right? It's good they're managing the AL, too. I mean, I know the Yankees played a little small ball, right? But they don't have to really make double switches and stuff like that.
Right.
The lineups are unbelievable. These teams are throwing out there. I mean, you can arrange these guys in any order. And Aaron Judge is still going to be Aaron Judge. And Stan's going to be Stanton. And Torres is going to be Torres, whatever, down the line. And then the same thing goes for J.D. Martinez and, Mookie Betts and Chris Sale. Like, those guys are still going to be superstars. That, I think, makes your job a little bit easier. But, yeah, I mean, certainly every move that you make is going to be kind of put under a microscope. And, like, your team is going to lose. Like, I think Aaron Boone does a pretty good job of that. I mean, he seems like it's easier when your team is super good, but he, like, never gets too high or too low. Like, when they got swept in Tampa, the season wasn't over yet because there were still, 80, 90, whatever games, amount of games were still going. And I'm sure Cora feels the same way. Like, their teams are going to go through slumps. It's 162 games. Like, Aaron Judge was the best player in baseball last year in the first half of the season. And he was like the worst player in baseball, from mid-July to late August, right? And September came around, he was the best player again. So, like, there's so many lulls. It's so long. This isn't a 16-game football season where you're playing 16 Sundays. That's it. Like, you're playing 162 games. It's insane. So, yeah, I mean, I think every move they make is going to be scrutinized and magnified. But, you also have a phenomenal roster at your disposal where, like, Mickey Callaway would do anything to have – what Aaron Boone has every day to work with.
And do you think that either team pays any, this is speculation and that's what I'm asking for. Do you think that either team pays any price for having their foot on the gas for 162 because everything does matter.
Every day we look at the lineup, right? We tweet the lineup out.
Right.
And every day it's scrutinized, right? Why is this guy sitting?
Right.
Why is Didi out? Why is Glaber out?
The question would be,
Boone, at least him, right? He can might even, I'm not saying he does, but like fans would say he overthinks it because he's always trying to sit guys. Like, he's going to get Didi a day tomorrow. Tyler Wade's going to start a shortstop in one of those two games of the doubleheader, whether you liked it or not, whatever. He's going to try to make sure that, like, what happened to Aaron Judge or what happened to Sanchez or whatever, where these guys get worn down, that doesn't happen. Like, the key to the whole thing is to make sure that when it's playoff time, whether you're playing in that do-or-die wildcard game or you're playing in the playoff, you have them all. So I don't really, I don't personally mind the whole, like, this guy's going to sit in this game and game 83 is going to sit. These two guys are going to give Stan a blow, Judge a blow, whatever, because you're going to ultimately want to have those guys healthy for – that huge stretch. And if you're playing 20 in a row, you're playing like this, you're playing 11 games in 10 days, like, you need to make sure these guys are healthy. So resting guys in a singular game, I don't get too caught up in all that stuff.
No.
I know the fans do. They're going to analyze every piece of the lineup. Why is this guy in? Why is this guy hitting third? Whatever. But, like, to me personally, I get the whole, you want to manage these guys for 162, not every day, running them into the ground.
Yeah. And really that was my question. Is it, as you try to balance the two of staying close to the Red Sox and giving yourself a chance to win the division while also being responsible knowing full well that whether you're the wild card winner or not, you want to be playing your best baseball in October with your healthiest team in October. And you're already pretty much assured that you're going to be playing in October. So managing from here on in the last 70, 75 games is a challenge between the balance of what we just talked about and staying close to the Red Sox.
Sure. And like, you know, the Yankees have like a doubleheader tomorrow, right? Like the odds of you splitting that doubleheader are going to be pretty high. At least based on what's happened, right? They split in Detroit. They split in D.C.
And you got
one game.
Yeah.
Chances are fans are going to be really upset. Okay, we just lost the game. And the win, okay, everything is fine. So, like, obviously, again, going back to that whole two wild card thing, I mean, I even imagine, and it was before my time. I mean, the wild card came in when I was 8 years old in 95. So I've never really watched baseball that I can remember with no wild card. But then you're thinking, like, can you imagine if the AL had these three teams, Houston, you know, Boston, and New York, and there's only one team that comes out of it? There's no playoff. There's just a pennant, and all three teams are grinding.
Right.
And all it's three
right.
instead of two. Because, like,
right.
Houston and Seattle are kind of going through the same thing the Yankees and Red Sox
yeah.
are. Just nobody really talks about it.
And,
but
you
like,
know, the nice thing
Houston,
about that,
Houston
that Mike,
go, yeah.
the nice
right.
thing about that, Mike, was that there was no choice. So, you know, you knew
right.
you were grinding. You either did it or you didn't.
Right.
There was no
exactly.
fallback, no fallback position.
And if you're a 105-win team and you don't make the playoffs, so be it.
Right.
You screwed up, and
right.
you're going to have to wear it.
Right.
You know, just like if the Yankees win 105 and they lose in the wild card game, they're going to have to wear it. Maybe it's not fair, but conceivably every team is kind of going through the same thing. The Yankees obviously just happen to be really, really good.
You're absolutely right about that. Let's talk a little bit about what your belief is about Brian Cashman over the next 3 weeks. How does he approach the deadline? What do you think will be the biggest change on August 1st for the New York Yankees?
I think they have to obviously have to get a pitcher. I mean, they've been saying it since the spring. Hal Steinbrenner said it. Cashman has said it. Boone has kind of hinted at it, even though he's not going to say it. So they need a pitcher. You know, it's the question of obviously who's going to be available. Is there going to be a impact number two type that becomes available that they can get? Because it doesn't look like Bumgarner is going to be available based on what the Giants writers are, you know, reporting. And it doesn't look like, you know, that DeGrom thing, just based on the whole Wilpon-Yankee dynamic, I just can't see that happening at all. So it's like, where does that guy come up? Can you get a Blake Snell? Would the Rays trade with the Yankees, which would be crazy? And would they give them their, you know, 20-year-old, whatever he is, you know, lefty who's under team control and makes no money, you know, for three or four top prospects? I don't know. So then it's like, you know, then you're down to your Jay Haps, or you're talking about, it looks like, you know, Cole Hamels out of the mix. We reported yesterday, Christian Redd of our paper reported that the Yankees, you know, he's not on the Yankees radar. So he's out because he makes a ton of money too. And the fact that a lot of scouts think he's a number four. So it's like, can you get that number two guy, or do you need Tanaka to step up, which you do, to be that guy who was in the postseason, not the guy who, you know, gets a ton of offensive support, but has given up, you know, four runs in six innings every night. You know, they really need him to be better than that. And, you know, then they have the card of maybe bringing up Sheffield. He had another pretty good start today where he only gave up one run.
Yeah.
So he's putting back-to-back starts up where he's pitching really well. A lot of scouts feel like he's big league ready. The Yankees obviously clearly don't feel that way yet, but I think he's, you know, kind of their ace in the hole if they want to play that card. And then you hope to get, you know, they got two guys last year. They got Garcia and Gray. So, you know, they were scouting Eovaldi. Like, is Eovaldi your second guy? You know, conceivably, again, nothing like, you know, solid to this, but do they want to get, you know, two starters? I mean, that is certainly a possibility. Herman was great today. He's been up and down. You know, now you have Loaiza Casilla and Ahmad tomorrow, so you don't know what his status is going to be, but the shoulder thing is really scary, because he's missed a couple seasons with a shoulder injury.
Right.
So now he might be out of the equation for a while. So it's, you know, you're getting thin there because you can't trust Gray and you really don't have anything besides Severino and Sabathia. And then I think, you know, you could look to get a reliever, you know, if you end up getting a number four or five starter and you decide to dip into that, you know, Britain Hand market to see if you can get an elite lefty and then try to shorten games as much as you can. Okay. That's kind of an option. And then you could go after a first baseman or whatever, corner infield guy, you know, like a Moustakas, but I think that's kind of way down on the list where your offense is going to be fine. I mean, Sanchez has been out, Torres is out, they still kind of score runs, they still have enough. Like, they're the only team in baseball that can lose 150 home run hitter and still have another. So there's a lot of depth there, I think.
Yeah.
So that spot, I feel like you have a few months. You have to, like, you know, if you were really desperate, you could go to that August 31st non-waiver trade deadline, try to get a first baseman. That's, like, something I feel like is more readily available probably than obviously a starter where the market is what it is. There's not that much inventory and there's several teams that want to try to make a move.
Mike, appreciate it. Good insight as always. We thank you. And you in Baltimore tomorrow?
I will be there on a flight at 6 a.m. this morning out of Toronto. Yep.
There you go. All right, my friend. Enjoy Toronto. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Take
there you
care.
Go. Mike Mazzeo of the Daily News.